This is Church Alive's teaching of the week. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
Please let's stand and let's honor Cameron Tate as he comes up to speak. Amen.
Praise God. Well, good morning to you all. I am so grateful. I love this house. I was down there crying on the front row, just thinking about those lyrics. You know, sometimes we can sing songs, but man, when you start thinking about all your life, if you come through a few hills and valleys, then you kind of know what that song's talking about. Amen. So I'm so grateful to be here. Your pastors, don't you just love Pastor Gene and Pastor Regina? Are they not amazing people? Wow, their hearts are so pure, and I feel so blessed. So I've adopted myself into your family. I hope that's okay. I know it's my first time here, but you needed me, and I needed you, and so we're here together. Amen? So, you know, just so when we see each other in Walmart, let's just slap each other and say high five and say hello, you know, act like you know me, and I'm act like I know you. Amen? All right. How about that? Really good. Okay. Well, I'm so thankful to be here. If you got your Bibles, I want you to go with me to John chapter 4. Y'all don't mind if I preach a little bit, do you? Now, I don't have to rush in this service, do it. Y'all ate real good and you got up a little later, so I'm going to preach 50 minutes instead of 30. Is that okay? I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. They'll cut the microphone off and I'll never be invited back, so not going to do it. But I do have a word from the Lord today, and I'm excited about it. I am going to set my timer for 30 minutes, and if I go over that, then I'll be like Nolan. I apologize first. No, I'm going to stay within the time. But I'm really thankful. Can you stand with me to read the Word of God together? And as we're reading this Word, I want to pray for us. It's always so good to lean into what God is saying. So let's pray and let's get His heart. Father, we are so, I'm at a loss for words. Something about thinking about the fact that I'm going to worship you for all of eternity. Wow, Lord, we're going to lay those crowns down right at your feet. But we're not waiting till then. We start right now. Father, we thank you. I thank you for this church, Church Alive. Thank you for the leadership of this house. Thank you, Lord, for a church that is after your heart. It's so beautiful, Lord, in our day and time to have leaders that just pour themselves out before you. Father, I pray a blessing over this house. Thank you. Would you continue to bless Pastor Gene and Pastor Regina? Thank you for their hearts, God. What a beautiful, beautiful example of your glorious presence. Thank you for giving us leaders after your heart. I honor them today. Father, I honor your house. I thank you. It's always an honor and privilege for me to stand and preach your word. I'm not worthy of it, but I thank you for allowing me to do it. Now, God, would you release your heart to all of us this morning? May we hear from you. Not a man's opinion, but what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to your church. Lord, would you release your word just like we read in the scripture where often, Lord, you had a word for your church. And not just Church Alive, but I mean the church as a whole. Father, we want a glimpse of what you're saying in this season. So I pray that you will anoint my tongue to speak your word. Let me become the vessel, Lord, for you. And I ask if there be anything within Cameron Tate that does not bring you any glory, that you remove it now. That, Lord, nothing in my flesh stands in the way of what you're trying to do this morning. You're already here, so we don't beg you to come. We thank you that you're here. And I pray that we'll have an awareness that you're here, God. And Lord, I believe that you're ready to speak to every heart. Make hearts ready to receive today. And I give you glory for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. John chapter 4, I like to read from the New Living Translation. I'm starting at the 27th verse. And I'll wrap this up for you. But I'm going to start there. Reads like this. Just then his disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking with a woman. You all know this passage of scripture. Jesus is talking to a Samaritan woman. But none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her? Or why are you talking with her? The woman left her water beside the well and ran back to the village telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything he ever did. What a great message. Could he possibly be the Messiah? Something about having an encounter with Jesus Christ. I watch the worship team, and I love Nolan. I got to do a blood test, figure out if we're related somehow, Nolan, because I mean he's just up here and he's stomping his feet and he's just radically and something about a person that's been touched by the fire. Yes. I'm not even here to preach that message. That's another one, but I'll stick to those. But I'm telling you that this woman has encountered Jesus, and she goes and she says, come see a man who told me everything he ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village. Let me tell you, you get enough Holy Ghost fire in you, and people will have to come see the man that you know. Yes. Understand, I want so much Holy Ghost power on the inside of me that when I just walk by people, they know there's something there. They can't always put language to it, but they know it's not the flesh. There's something else going on here. Oh, I feel like preaching. I hope you revved up today. I might just let loose in this second service here. My goodness. Meanwhile, the disciples are urging Jesus, "Rabbi, eat something." But Jesus replied, "I have a kind of food you know nothing about." Did someone bring him food? We were gone. The disciples asked each other. Then Jesus explained, "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. You know the saying, 4 months between plant and harvest, but I say, wake up." Look at somebody, say, "Wake up." No, look at him in the eye. Say, "You need to wake up this morning." Okay. And look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. You know the saying, one plants and another harvests, and it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work, and now you get to gather the harvest. Let's pray. Father, thank you. You're already here. I'm just asking, Spirit of God, that you move. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We love the fact that we're here this morning by your hand. Not just because we just showed up, but it's because you allowed us to be here today. And thank you that we're in your house and we're ready to receive from you. Speak loud and clear, and we give you glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You can grab your seat. Title of the message this morning is Wake Up. Wake up. Wake up. So I want to break down this John chapter 4. Jesus has a conversation with the Samaritan woman. And she's had five husbands, but the man she was currently with, she was not married to. We know that. And Jesus tells this woman, "If you know who's in front of you, be asking me for living water." And she takes this water, and you know the story, and we just read it. She goes back in the village. She becomes the evangelist in her town. And I just wonder what would happen if we became the evangelist for our towns and for our cities and for our families. And for, you know, I just think that's what God's looking for. Somebody who's, the gospel has impacted you in such a way that, you know, the songs this morning just, when they started singing, "I just can't hold back my praise." And there's something about when you have gotten so close to Jesus that you just kind of ooze him out. It just, you don't even have to try. It just, you're just so filled up with him. And he just, you know, he longs to touch you like that. You know, and I tell you, the great danger is that we just show up to church. This is what we do. You know, we like to clock this on a Sunday morning. It's like a job almost. You clock in and you clock out. You clock in, you know that's what you sort of do. But can I tell, this is not a job. This is a privilege to be in the house of God. I didn't come to clock in here. I came to encounter the King. Are you with me this morning? And so, you know, God doesn't want us to come in here and just clock in. I don't want to clock in and clock out and say, "Well, I did my hour and a half, I'm good." No, but I want an encounter with God, because here's why. I want such an anointing over my life that it literally attracts people to the glory of God. Not for the name Cameron Tate, but why? Jesus said, "Let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." So what God's trying to do in you and I is fill us up to the core. And I want to get in this John chapter 4 because Jesus talks about the harvest, and that's what I want to lean on this morning, because I believe, listen to me, that these are the days of great harvest. Now, and I'm not talking about physically, I'm talking spiritually. I just really believe that people are sitting on the edge of their seat ready to get saved. And I want to remind you this morning that God said in the last days, he said, "I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." Do you sense by the spirit that these are the days of the outpouring of the spirit? I really sense that. I sense that something supernatural is happening. I can't quite put my finger on it, but it's supernatural. Because I know what's happening in my house, and I know what God's doing in my wife and I, and God's just stirring things. I mean, this morning I woke up, you know, and I just woke up this morning, I had that song in my spirit. There's no one like our God. We crown you King of Glory. And let me tell you, the more I sung it, the more stirred I got. I told my wife, I said, I feel like, you know, like my grandmother used to make a big pot of gumbo, and she would put the ingredients in and stir that thing up like that. You know, when you stir that up, you mean business. You understand? When you see somebody doing this, they know what to do. And I feel like God in my life was doing that today. And man, let me tell you, I'm just stirred up in this season. You know, sometimes you just need to ask God for a fresh stirring of his spirit. You know what Paul told Timothy? He said, you need to fan in the flames, the gifts. Can I tell you, if you're spiritually dull this morning, I just want you to do this with me. Everybody. You know what you're doing when you do that? You think it may sound silly, but you're stirring something up today. Some of you need that fresh stir in the day. You need God to stir you up, fan you up a little bit. You know what can happen? The reason why Jesus said in scripture, he said the words, wake up. Here's the great danger, I believe, that the church has to be careful as we're in these last days. We be careful that we don't fall asleep. We don't get spiritually dull, and we don't get indifferent, and we don't become lukewarm. That I'm asking you this morning to keep the fire on the inside of you going. I'm asking you not to let it. Let me tell you, there's too much going on in the world, and the last thing we need is a dull church. We don't need a dull church when the world's on fire right now. Hear me. I'm waking you up this morning, because what you can't allow to happen is your faith to become dull and indifferent. I mean, God's asking us to carry the fire. Right. Can I ask you a question? Are you saved in the room? Yes. Some of you may not be. You will be today. Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, listen, I'll stop this sermon and give an altar call right now. I don't have any problem. Let me tell you, I'm fired up. Last night, I was at Camp Tanglewood, First Baptist McGee. They had the young people down there, and I preached twice. I preached yesterday morning and last night. And guess what? Last night, I gave an altar call, because I believe in good old-fashioned altar calls. Praise God. Calling you home. And last night, there was some young folk, and there's 54 young people. And I got sense enough to know that anytime in the room, everybody ain't saved. I know that. And that's where every time I preach, just about, I give an altar call. And I say, and last night I gave one. And we had about, I don't know, there was at least four young people, if not more, that raised a hand. And you should have saw the tears coming down their eyes. Because there's something about realizing that you're far from God. Even though you may have been in church your whole life, been around God, but you're far from God. And I watch God save. And here's what I'm telling you. Jesus said, wake up and look around. The field's already ripe for harvest. I sense this. God's calling some of you this morning. I feel it. I can feel by the Spirit God's calling. And here's what I want to tell you. You need to respond while you have time. Can I be real honest today? Nolan helped me. He set it up. He said, be transparent. I'm going to follow behind that transparent grace this morning. I'm going to be honest and tell you that we don't have as much time as we think. And let me tell you what. I've decided I love everybody. I've decided I'm not going to be a cute preacher. I'm going to be a preacher that preaches the truth of the word. You know why? And I'm going to do it in love. But we need it preached. Yes. Because we're too close to the end. I don't believe we need to play games with the things of God. I think we need to tell people, here's the truth. You need to repent now. You'll be eternally lost. I believe we need to tell people that. Yes. I believe people need to hear the truth. Yes. And I like Jesus, because Jesus never sugarcoated the truth. He's spoken in love, but he never sugarcoated it. John the Baptist didn't either. He preached. And I really believe that I don't know. I say this in the middle. I just feel like God's telling me, you got to be an end time preacher. Let me tell you what happened. I'm all off notes. Forget it. I'm just going to flow with the Spirit. Let me tell you, a month ago, I went to Belize to preach a three-day crusade. It was amazing. God moved every night. People responded. Let me tell you, I was preaching like this, and I watched the girl in the back, and she was just weeping. Doing the whole sermon, weeping. I said, God, you're working on it. She came up, you know, when I gave the invitation, altar call. But let me tell you, I flew from Belize to Houston, and when I was on my way back to Mississippi, when I was flying back, when I made it to Houston, my flight got delayed. There was a lot of weather going on. And I don't get upset. One, because I just want to make it home safe. So I'm not upset about a delay. I'd rather be delayed than not get here. Amen. Okay? Don't want to go see Jesus in there. Amen. You know? But whatever, if I do, so shall it be. I'll just go right on up to glory. I guess I'll be a little closer, 30,000 feet in the air anyway. Hey, hallelujah. But let me tell you what happened. I get to the airport. And my flight gets delayed. I was supposed to leave at 6. I didn't leave till about 9. And so I said, okay, Lord, maybe I'm in the airport to preach the gospel. I don't know. There's a lot of lost people in the airport. That's a great place to start a church. I joked Pastor Gene the first service and said, maybe you need to start a church alive in the airport. They probably need it. Amen. But what happened, I was sitting there, it was about 9 o'clock, I was getting ready to board up. And you know, God really has a sense of humor because he'll wait. Now he waited the whole night. I had 2 extra hours at the airport, didn't hear anything from God. But let me tell you, I sat down there and this woman comes on the intercom. And you really have to begin to hear in the spirit, no matter where you are, because God's always speaking. You just got to have ears to hear. Yes. Don't ever say God's not speaking. When people say, well, I hadn't heard anything from God. Well, it ain't because God's not talking. You're probably not listening. So I'm sitting there in the airport, right? And God's teaching me how to hear him and seek him in all places, at all times, because that's what you're supposed to do as a child of God. Seek God everywhere, all places, all times. So I'm sitting in the airport, and the intercom comes on. There's a woman, and she said these words. She said, the door is about to close, and it will not reopen. And in that moment, God spoke to me. And let me tell you, you know when it's God, because something hits your spirit, and you have to sit there and think about it. And I sat there, and I thought about that, and I thought, the door is about to close and it will not reopen. And God was telling me that people have a limited time to repent and seek me. Because when that door closed, they will not have another opportunity. And I'm telling you this, friends, and I say this with all love and respect and honor to you. But we better respond to the Lord Jesus Christ. You think that's the reason why God's rushing toward the harvest like he is? Is it because God's wasting his time? No, he knows when he's coming back. No one else does. The Son doesn't know, not even the angels know, but he has set a time he's coming back. And I think right now we need to be waking up in the spirit and being sensitive to that. Because it could be today. And I think because of that, we need an urgency of the gospel. If you're not urgent about lost souls, I'm going to tell you, you're missing it in this season. I don't want us to miss this point out. I'm telling you, since I came back from Belize, I don't even know. I feel like I've been a preaching machine lately. I can't even keep up anymore. But I'm watching God just move. And it moves me. And I told my wife, I said, this preaching ain't for the people. It's for me, because I get a fresh anointing every time I do it. And it reminds me, this is what we're supposed to do as believers. And not just for people that preach, but for people who are just saved. So Jesus said these words in John 4. He said, you know the saying, 4 months between plant and harvest, but I say, wake up and look around. The field's already ripe for harvest. So can I say something, friends? The fields are ready. Yes. They're ready for the taking. The question is are we going to go do the work? See, Jesus said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest for more workers in the field. Now, this always baffles me. I'm trying to wrap my mind around this. I don't claim I'm the smartest, but I'm trying to wrap my mind around God. There are so many people across this world who claim they love you. And why do we have all this lostness? I cannot figure out why people in our, hear me this morning. I cannot figure out why our people in our cities are lost. If we got churches on every corner, something's off. Please hear my heart. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just getting us to think this morning that how many churches are meeting right now across this world and they're lifting Jesus up? Right. Yeah. It should stir us. Yep. So he's saying, wake up. And here's what I know the devil's doing right now. It's trying to distract the church to make us fall right asleep. If distractions have been heavy in your life in this season, trust me, it's strategic from the enemy. You know why he's doing it? Because the more distracted and asleep you become, the more harvest we miss. And how many of us, you know what I feel by the Spirit? For the church at large, not just Church Alive, I mean for every church, including the one I go to, every church. This is our season of recalibrating. Where God's resetting the church and getting us back to his heart, because we made it about programs and all these things. And God's like, hey, I called you to go after souls. Yes. I saved you for soul winning. If that ain't the drive of the church, then we've missed the heart of God. Right. It's wonderful for us to come here every week. Where are the lost souls at? Yeah. We got to start praying for the lost. You got to think about everybody's one breath away from heaven to hell. Every person you see walking is one breath away. Yeah. It's that serious. Amen. And so I've decided that I'm going into overdrive. Why do you pray so hard? Because I believe in this message. I believe that this book is life transforming and every person needs it. And people are standing on the edge and people think they got a lot of time left, but something in my spirit is just, I'm being awakened by the Spirit of God, and I hope you are too this morning. And you know, I think the message to the church at large is Jesus saying, look around. Look around. I don't want us to miss the joy of harvesting. I mean, you know, I want to say this. It is such a joy to be a Christian. It's a joy just to be saved, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, it's good to know the Lord. You know what's just as good as knowing the Lord is helping other people know the Lord.
Yes.
Boy, you know what fires me up? I'll never forget this. Back in February, I was at East Rankin Academy. Some of y'all know what that is over in Pelahatchie. I went there for their spiritual emphasis week. I was there for 3 days, and we had a move of God. I wish y'all could have saw the altar the last day. I mean, this. You just think about this altar. Listen, this altar was packed. It was rows of students crying, bowing down. But I'll never forget what happened that day. I went into one of the classrooms, and I got to kind of, you know, do one-on-one with some of the students. And I'll never forget this young man. When I got done, he walked out of the class, and he hit the door, and he turned around, he had tears in his eyes. And I knew exactly what happened. I said, young man, you need to give your life to Christ, don't you? He said, yes, I do. I believe his name was Luke. And we prayed right there. I said, well, come on, let's pray. Let's ask Jesus. He can come into your heart right now. It's nothing magical. You can pray, just ask him. Believe on him. He'll come save you. He'll do it. And you know what happened? Hey, man, he's breaking down crying. And we prayed together. And his teacher said, he's been in my Bible class. I've been praying for him. What happened? That day there was a harvest. Yes. That day.
Yes.
See, here's what Jesus said. Here's what he said. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant.
Yes.
Others had already done the work. Now you'll get together. See, you that was somebody had prayed and planted and prayed and planted and prayed and planted. And then all of a sudden, some light bulb comes on. Boom, there's the harvest. You just never know.
Right.
So Jesus said, look around. Look for it.
Yep.
Expect it. Can I say something in love? Does the church still expect the harvest? Here's another question. Are you asking God? Are you asking God for McGee? How many of you are on your knees, burning up your knees, asking God? I live in Jackson. I'm begging God for my city. We can't get them all, but that don't mean I'm not going to try. Burn your knees up for your city. Burn up your knees. Don't stop praying till you see it. You say, well, the world's just so bad. So what? Don't stop praying. Because God's still moving. He's still saving. But are we burdened? I believe your pastors are. I'm asking you to join them in the burden. I believe all it takes, it's not somebody special. I don't believe it takes somebody super educated. I just think it takes a person that says, God, I was saved for a purpose. Not just to have a ticket to go to heaven. That's amazing. But boy, I'm saved for soul winning. And I'm going to tell you, I've been more excited about it than I've ever been in my whole life. I mean, I'm so fired up every time I get to go somewhere and preach the gospel. Lord, thank you. When I was on my way to Belize, when I backed up my driveway, me in the car hadn't even gone to pick up my mom yet. She was going to drop me off at the airport. I started weeping. Started saying, Lord, thank you for the souls. Because see, this means something to me. This is not my career. I don't do this for money. I don't do this for influence. I do this because I care about souls. You know, I just have to believe this burden came from God. I'm not sure why. I mean, I know why, but I don't know why it stirs in me like it does. But I understand the seriousness of people's souls. And you know what? I don't want blood to be on my hands.
Amen.
You know, I want God to tell me when I get to heaven, son, look at how many rooms you had to build because you obeyed the call. Jesus said, in my Father's house, you know, God's got room for everybody that wants it.
Yes.
Here's the tragedy, that there'll be people that don't want it. Well, everybody ain't gonna get saved, Cameron, I know that. But can I just burn my knees up and help somebody that wants it? My grandmother, who was 95, when she left this earth, January 15th this year, I started crying that front row. Because that was the hardest day of my life. Hardest day. But the song she used, and I'm getting emotional now. The song that she loved was, if I could help somebody as I travel alone, then my living won't be in vain. You know, she would pray for me all the time. I called my grandmother every night. Every night we would pray together. And she would say, son, I'm praying for you that God will use you to bring souls in the kingdom. That means something to me. I'm probably standing here because she prayed that. Could it be the souls coming into the kingdom? Because that woman, she never preached a day in her life. Let me come down and talk to you. She never preached. But she prayed for me that I would. 95, she ain't here no more. Them prayers are still living.
Yes.
Them prayers. You understand something? Your prayers will live on. I pray my prayers outlive me. My 3-year-old son is in that childcare room back there. And you know what he's doing? At the house, preaching. If I do this right, if I do this the right way, he'll outrun me. If I serve God the right way and I keep honoring God the best I know, I'm not perfect. But if I do this right and I keep sowing and sowing, I just believe he'll reap a harvest of souls that daddy will never do. I pray for that. I pray you pray for that. Boy, this sermon has gotten all off course of what I thought it was going, but it's all right. Wake up. Feel so right for harvest. Here's what I'm telling you, church. These are the days. And I think we as a church, we need a burden for souls. And that's my prayer for you this morning, is will you be burdened? And my prayer for you, if you've lost it, if you forgot it, if you forgot that me going to go to church is not just for me to keep receiving the word and do nothing with it, but if I take it and I give it out to people. You know what blessed me? And I'm getting ready to close here, but what blessed me is, a few months ago, my wife and I and our babies, we were walking in the park. And this couple walked past us, and there were believers. I think the man had on a Christian shirt, and he walked past me, and I said, hey, how you doing? I love your shirt. That's all I said. And that guy, he turned around. He walked a few feet up from me, and he turned around. And he said, sir, he said, are you a minister? I said, yes, sir. And what he said next blessed me. He said, brother, he said, you got a strong spirit about yourself. He said, and I felt it when I walked past you. Man, that stirred me up. I am in a pursuit at this stage of my life where all I really want is God, and I just want to finish my assignment. You know what Jesus said? He said, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me. I want to say this to you. You got to know what you've been sent for. See, because here's what the devil would do. He'll make you waste a lot of time if you don't know why you're here. Billy Graham said it like this. I love this. He said, I know where I came from. I know why I'm here, and I know where I'm going. Right. You talk about a life well lived. 99, when he passed away, he knew he was living for the end. I know what I'm living for. And however many souls that God allows me to harvest, I'll give him glory. But listen, I'm going to do his will. And then one day I'm going home. I can't wait. I'll rest from all of this labor. But I'm going to work hard while I'm here. And you know, some people might say that's radical. I don't see it as radical. I just see it as biblical. But if radical is what it is, then that's what it'll be. Because somebody's got to fight for the souls. You know, there's a harvest attached to your life. There's a harvest attached to mine. I don't know where he'll send you. I don't know where he'll send me. But I tell you, where he sent us, we'll harvest. How about that?
Amen.
Praise God. I'm going to let the worst team come on up. I want to pray for us this morning. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for the harvest. That's, I want you to begin to ask the Lord who he has. Because this is what I know. If you're here and you're a child of God, you're assigned to somebody. You say, well, brother, I don't stand on the stage and preach like you. Man, let me, this is just one function of the gift. Just one. You know how many more? We have fivefold ministry. You know how much spiritual gifts we have in the body of Christ? Let me tell you, and let me say something in love. This is probably about, I don't know, this may be 30%. You know how many people ain't in church? They're waiting on you, on your job, and your neighbor. There are people that will never sit in these seats that you get to witness to every day that me and Pastor Gene will never see. But you will. You just got to be committed every day. Lord, I'm here. What? How do you want to use me? Here's what I'm telling you. Be on the lookout for souls wherever you go. Be on the watch for them. This is what Jesus was saying. Look around. You say, I don't know where the lost souls are. Just open your eyes in the morning. They're all around you. They're waiting. Well, what if they don't want to hear? They may not. You share anyway. What if they don't believe? Your job is not to make them to believe.
Right.
I don't make people believe. I don't save anybody. I'm just the vessel. Lord, you speak through me, and you may plant the seed. You may never see the harvest, but you plant the seed, and you watch God. And God does the increase. The increase. So here's what I'm saying. I'm just telling you to get yourself in position. I'm not asking you to do anything other than position yourself. This week, say, Father, would you help me reap a harvest? See what God does. Say, God, would you just... And it may be one person connect to your harvest. Harvest don't mean millions. Harvest just means whoever God puts in front of me. Harvest may mean millions. I don't know. It's just a matter of, Lord, I'm here. And this is what I sense this morning by the Spirit. Some of us just need to get in that posture. Lord, I'm here. What do you want to do? How do you want to use me? Here I am. And when you tell God that, guess what he'll start doing? Well, he'll start filling your hands up with souls. He will fill you up. You just got to be I am not a perfect man. My wife can tell you that. She has to pray for me all the time. All the time. But you know what? I'm just a man that's open. Lord, however you want to do it, I'll do it your way. And you know what God says? That's good enough for me. I'll take it. It's just about being open. Would you be open to God this morning? I mean, will you really open yourself up to him this morning? Don't just say it, but will you really say, God, I recognize we're in the last days, and I think God is looking for harvesters. Somebody he can use. I want to tell you this, friends. Souls ain't just going to get saved. They're going to get saved because we're going to work. And you say, well, that's God's job. Well, God did a pretty good job of coming to live on the inside of you. God did his job. You know, when Jesus said in John 19:30, he said, it's finished. What was he saying? I believe two things he was saying by that. One is, I've done everything possible to bring souls that want to come. It's finished. Here's the other thing I believe he's saying. My assignment here is finished. And he went back to the Father and he said, now I'm going to come back as the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to fill you up and make you a good harvester. That's why you're filled with the Spirit of God. Not just so you can be a good churchgoer, but so that God can begin to bring you harvest. You know what? You just have to cooperate with the Spirit of God. Well, that's God's job. God's looking for partnership. He said, we're joint heirs. Work with him. Well, what does that look like? Praying with him. Pray his heart. God, save souls. God, help me reach my family. God, help me. And then God will help you start pulling them in. And you'll be like Peter. Your boat will be sitting there. You don't even know what to do with all these souls. Praise God. But that has to be the posture of your heart. What happens if every church around the world start praying that? Man, lostness would begin to fade more and more. I'm not saying we get them all. I'm just saying lostness will start fading because the church will have a drive. And we get excited. I hope you're excited. Come on, stand this morning. Stand. And here's what I want you to do. Everybody, if you can, hold your hands out like this. Hold them out. Because here's what you're saying. You're holding them out saying, God, I'm ready for whoever you want to bring to me today, whoever you want to bring this week. This has to be a posture. God, whatever you need me to do, my hands are open. My gosh, let's pray right here. Father, thank you. We're open. We're open. We're saying this is our posture, God. We're not perfect. We don't have it all together. Thank you, Lord. You're not looking for perfect people. You can't find any. But we're just positioned. Yes, Lord. We're not perfect. We're positioned. He said, I don't need perfection. I just need positioning. May the Lord God begin to fill your hands, my gosh, with souls. May God begin to give you wisdom and strategy for reaching souls. The world is dark, but I hear God saying, but I'm equipping you. I'm equipping my bride for soul winning in a dark time. My gosh. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Here we are. We're a ready remnant. I feel like Elijah when he said, Lord, there's no one else. But God, you told him, you said, hey, I got 7,000 others. That's what I feel right now. I got others. You're not by yourself. I got others. Come on, God said, I've called. I got you here. That's what, Lord, the world's so dark, but you're here for this time. Woo! May the spirit of Esther for such a time as this come upon you. God, thank you today. Thank you for what you're doing. Help us to be good harvesters. We receive all that you have for us. God, give us resources, give us favor, give us everything we need to reach souls. That's our heart, that's our burden. Hallelujah. Now, I feel this invitation from the Lord. Some of you this morning, I feel this. You need a fresh rekindling. Some of you, you're just going through the motions of church. And I believe God is saying to you, you need to come to the altar today. Not for me, not for Pastor Gene. You just need to come yourself and say, God, would you fill me afresh? Because while your hands are out, this is what I sense. God's trying to fill some of you afresh this morning. Some of you need a fresh touch from God. Some of you may need to give your life to Christ. You say, my hands are open to get saved today, whatever the case may be. But I'm asking you, let God fill you for this end time harvest. We're in the last days. Will you be an end time harvester for the sake of his kingdom and glory? If God's speaking to you, I believe the prayer team's getting ready to come down here in just a minute. If God's speaking to you, I encourage you to let God move in your heart today. Father, thank you. Thank you. Lord, I'm just so grateful. Even in my brokenness and my frailty, still you call. Still you call. And I pray today, Lord, for those that need to receive you as Lord and Savior, for those that just say, I just need a fresh touch from God, would have the boldness today to say, come. And then for those of us that's already saved, our hands are open, God. Would you bring in the harvest? Thank you, Jesus. Those who are lost, those who are hurting, those who are waiting, they're waiting. God set a fresh fire in us today, and we give you glory in Jesus' name. I encourage you to respond to God today, whatever he's leading you to do. Respond. Maybe you just need to tell God a fresh yes. Respond to God today.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive teaching of the week. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.